And what's a wedding without champagne? Just the sound of a popping cork evokes a sense of celebration, and Chris Adams is here with his champagne recommendations for the summer season. He's the CEO of Sherry Lehman Wine and Spirits in New York City, and he joins us from our New York bureau. Chris, welcome.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Let's start with the budget list, the most bubbles for the buck, maybe things that aren't necessarily champagne.
Well, I think that if you're going to look at sparkling wines, you're going to look at regions that are known for producing great wines, but not necessarily within the region of Champagne. And those regions, sometimes within France, in the case of the Cremant that we're talking about today, Loire-Boyau, the Rosé, but they also exist in Spain with Cavas, and they certainly exist in Italy with Prosecco, and in California with the great sparkling wines of California.
All right, well, let's taste one of these. There's one here with a lovely pink label.
There
I think
is.
You mentioned it. Say it again.
It's Louis Boyau's Cremant de Bourgogne, I should say, the rosé, which, you know, it chose a pink wine because I thought, well, we're not going to taste one today from Champagne, where rosés are, you know, not prohibitively expensive, but they get more expensive. And I thought this was a nice opportunity to taste a delicious rosé, certainly value-priced at about $14 a bottle. And the first thing is I always point about when I look at a glass of wine, I always look at the color, of course. And here you have a sort of a pale salmon color. And importantly, and I think this is one of the things that you can talk about when you talk about sparkling wines versus champagne, is you want to always sort of take a look at the size of the bubbles. As sparkling wines get less expensive, one of the things that you often notice is that the size of the bubbles get bigger.
Say that again. It's sort of the cheaper it is, the bigger
the
bubbles?
The less expensive it is, often it gets a little bit more carbonated. It gets
a little bit more like
seltzer
soda.
Water,
exactly. I did notice this is quite mild, and while there are a lot of bubbles, they are tiny.
They are very fine, exactly. And on the nose, strawberry, little black currant infused. And then most importantly, on the palate, shall we go ahead and taste? This is dry. This is fine. You don't want it to be cloying like a soda, where there's a sweetness that overwhelms everything. It's meant to go with light fare. It's meant to go with fruit. It's meant to go with salads. It's meant to be enjoyed in the summertime with that kind of fare.
Okay, and I see another bottle here, a rather oddly shaped bottle.
It is an oddly shaped bottle, more traditionally in the hundreds of years since shaped bottle of Domaine Ruinart. It's a beautiful bottle of champagne. It's a Blanc de Blanc, which in Champagne means that it's 100% Chardonnay. It is a little bit more expensive for sure, about $60 a bottle retail. But the great-grandson of the founder opened the doors to the American market and crossed the Atlantic way back in 1831 and introduced Domaine Ruinart to Andrew Jackson and the rest of the United States. So going into the 4th of July weekend, I thought this would be appropriate.
Okay, we're going to pour. So this is the drink of Andrew Jackson. This is a good selling point.
Right.
Very fizzy, almost like foam here.
It's going to relieve itself in a minute there.
This tastes very different.
It's a richer wine, for sure, so that the body of the Chardonnay comes through.
Now, what flavor should I be tasting here?
Well, you'll get a little bit of hint of hazelnut on the nose, for sure. A little bit of yeast, like a almost like a fresh bread kind of thing happening on the nose. And then candied citrus, maybe a little bit of herb, a little bit of ginger, but still very balanced and very bright. And when I say bright, you sort of get the acidity, you sort of get that sort of mouth-watering finish that comes through.
Now, what if we feel like splurging? What are the champagnes that are on your high-end list?
You know, right now, because we're still... It's still a challenging economy. Let's not kid ourselves. So when we talk about the top of the house champagnes, I'm still pretty conservative, and spending $200 or $300 a bottle on some of the wines that are out there still seems to me a little bit out of the realm of what is most appropriate. But there are some great champagnes out there that are more expensive, but that still deliver the tête de cuvée, or what I mean, the head of the house, the top of the house flavor and aromatic profiles, for relatively inexpensive price points. And the one that came to mind for me was the Pommery Cuvée Louise 1998. And that's about $110 to $120 a bottle you'll see at retail across the country. And 1998 was a very nice year. At this point, that wine has over a decade of aging. So it begins to take on some of the secondary and tertiary characteristics and aromatics. And that is a much more sublime experience and something that is a nice treat for the summer for sure.
Chris Adams is the CEO of Sherry Lehman Wine and Spirits in New York City. Chris, thank you so much for talking with us.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You can find a complete list of his champagne recommendations at our website, npr.org. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.